Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we're in October. It's been an interesting month praying for all those folks down in Florida impacted by Milton. Unbelievable what's going on with the weather down there. But again, hearts and prayers to all those people impacted by this horrible hurricane. And it's also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I think every day and every month should be awareness for so many different things. But this is the month where we really kind of zoom in and pay attention to it. And I said, who better to speak to this than my dear friend, Shelley Giroux. And Shelley, you and I go way back.
We do.
I've always called you my little Marilyn Monroe. you're so sweet. You're between Marilyn Monroe and Judy Garland, and such a talented vocalist. And we met during the cabaret days. Remember when you were part of the cabaret company, and you had such a talented group of folks, and it was always on my calendar to go and see you perform. So thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for being in my life. And I think we met and became fast friends. Mm-hmm. Early on in our lives, and our lives went different ways, and now here we are, and back in this space with new eyes, right? We've both been on our own hero's journeys again and again and again, right? And so here we are. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And you bring up a really good point, and you've just got such a great soul. Is that I've been through my stuff, my divorce, my recovery. You've been through your stuff, and now your journey that you've dealt with breast cancer. But it's so much more than that. And what I want you people to get out of this conversation today with Shelley is that she's literally an open book. This is not your typical case of breast cancer. I don't think there is such a thing. And I've sat back and I've seen you go through this with what looks like, grace and dignity. But I also know, Shelley, too, as a single mom, you've also had so many challenges. And then it's like, I look and it's one thing after another. So let's start your story where it began, back during COVID. I mean, you're only 57 years old. And you were diagnosed pretty young. So why don't you share with our listeners exactly how this whole thing started, if you will.
Sure thing. So during COVID, I was in the process, actually, of rebuilding my family. I had an acrimonious divorce and then a pretty disastrous post-divorce relationship. And so it led to a lot of complications in my life and with my family, my children, which are, my purpose in life.
Right.
And so that initial part of our lockdown, it from March of 2020 on, really was something my family needed. And so we were able to take that time and have the hard discussions and dig out and dig through and support one another in a recovery of our own and rebuild our bond even more unshakable than it was before.
And at the time, you were a dental hygienist, correct?
That's correct. I was a dental hygienist, and I was a church cantor. And so both long-standing careers. I had been in dental hygiene for 30 years, and I had been in my now last position of my life for 25 years. I also sang at St. Thomas the Apostle as a cantor and as a music minister, really. And so, spirituality, it has been a really big part of my life. In our lives. And so we keep really grounded in who we are and focusing on the goal of trying to be the best person that God created us to be and finding the path to that.
So you get laid off from your job, or they're not hiring you back, whatever
right.
you want to call it, after working for this hygienist for that many years.
Yes, for 25
so
years.
So you get a phone call. Yeah. What happens then?
I got a phone call, and I was told that my position had been eliminated and that I wasn't coming back. And that was on May 3rd of 2020. And I was in shock. I remember falling to the ground in front of my children. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't, because that was where my insurance came from. And I loved that job. I love dental hygiene, and I love taking care of people. And relationships are very important to me, too. So I didn't know what I was going to do. And very shortly, my good friend Joni, who also was my longtime colleague and worked with me, said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to get all the medical tests that we didn't have time to do because we were working so hard all the time, taking care of everyone else.
Yep.
So I went, I scheduled my mammogram with Dr. Julie Gershon, who is amazing, ladies. If you're afraid of getting a mammogram, she is the one. She's a solo practitioner out in Avon, and she's pretty awesome. So I saw her on May 13th of 2020. On May 14th of 2020, she did the biopsy. And on May 15th, my son's birthday, actually, I remember standing in my kitchen, and she called me herself, and she gave me the pathology, and she did let me know that it was invasive ductal carcinoma. And she said, I've already made an appointment for you with a breast surgeon. You go for a consultation on Monday. And from there, it was fast and furious, because she also knew my situation, that I was losing my insurance at the end of May. So here's the scenario, right? It's May, it's COVID, I've lost my job, I'm losing my insurance, and now I have cancer. So fortunately, and you know, I mean, COVID, I think, turned out to be such a turmoil for people. But I think for us, it was an oddly beneficial hard stop that we needed to get on track of our lives, me and my family. I'm talking about me and my children. My children and I, sorry. My daughter's an English major. I'm always correcting her. She would not like that. Anyway, so I was able to make a phone call to Access Health CT, and I'll never forget this man. Claude was his name. After, you know, an entire day of online trying to sign up and find insurance, I spoke to Claude, and Claude said, let me get this straight. And he repeated back to me, so you lost your job, you lost your insurance, and now you have cancer? He said, we're going to get you taken care of.
Wow.
And so that was the first miracle mm-hmm. of it all.
Mm-hmm.
So I could, you know, I knew then that I had coverage. But so I went through, I'll fast forward a little because it's
sure.
a long story.
Oh, yeah.
And I had conservative surgery, and then I was scheduled for radiation. I had my oncology consultation, early. I had my oncology consultation a week after surgery, which I guess is unusual. I didn't know that at the time. But it turned out also when they did the pathology, I had not one tumor, but two. I had an invasive ductal carcinoma. And then I also had a lobular carcinoma in situ. And what that means is that the lobules are, sorry to get anatomical on you guys. The lobules are what produces the milk, and then they go from the lobules into the ducts, and then that's where the milk comes out. And so I had a large lobular carcinoma in situ, which means it hadn't yet gone to the surrounding tissue, but it was a big tumor.
Mm-hmm.
In addition, I had positive lymph nodes. They evaluate your sentinel lymph nodes, which are your watchdogs. And so I had what's called a macrometastasis in my lymph system. So they removed those lymph nodes. But then also when I had radiation, they did both the breast tissue and the what's called the axillary tissue under your armpit, which is where the sentinel nodes are.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to see my oncologist, I had a large swelling the size of a softball underneath of my left arm where I had the nodes removed. And she looked at me and she said, "What is that?" I said, "I don't know. What is that?" I just thought it was normal. And so it turns out that I had a blockage. It's called a seroma. And that sort of started my journey with the first weird complication of my breast cancer, which was lymphedema, which is where I have, so your lymphatic system follows your blood vessels. But it's kind of like it's like the canal that takes all the waste out. But I had a blockage, and I still have a blockage. And so that is going to be something that is going to be with me pretty much forever. So I wear a compression sleeve every day. I wear a compression bra every day. I'm sort of head to toe. Every time I travel by airplane, I set off all the alarms. And so I now travel with a doctor's note because I'm, you know, a science project. So grateful, but a science project nonetheless.
So what was the outcome? Did you end up having a mastectomy then?
I had conservative surgery and radiation first. I was scheduled for chemotherapy, but then my oncologist said, "Your cancer is misbehaving, so we're going to hold off on chemo." And then after the surgery, I never got better. I never felt better. I had a lot of nerve damage. I was in chronic pain, and I felt awful all the time. And so finally, in March of 2022, I was diagnosed with cancer on the right side as well. And so, yes, after that, I did have a double mastectomy. And I also had reconstruction. And so that, you know, is a journey in and of itself.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you're kind of starting from scratch.
Completely. And it's all very, and because I had, you know, I have so much respect for the medical community. And I have to say that, you know, research is so important, because breast cancer, all cancers really, first of all, are as individual as our own DNA. Mm-hmm. So some respond, you know, as they hope they will, and some just don't. And sometimes our bodies just don't. And you know, I'm one of the weirdos out there. I'm one of the ones that keep my doctors guessing. I'll quote my breast surgeon, Dr. Bethann Sealingo in Southbury, who is a rock star, by the way. And she was the first person who said, "You're going to be fine, and we're going to make sure of it." And so after my mastectomy, which was supposed to be overnight at St. Mary's Hospital, where I ended up for 5 days, which is another story. So I got out of the hospital after my 5 days on my 55th birthday, and that was a Sunday. And I was so happy to be home, but also super weak and kind of loopy. I came home with 6 JP drains, which anyone who's had this sort of surgery knows what I'm talking about. But I had drains, like I had tubes in 6 different locations in my body to drain the blood and the fluid. And my daughter, who was 15 at the time, became an expert on the JP drains. But that is another long story. Anyway, well, that Monday, I got a call from my surgeon's office, and her assistant asked me if I would participate in a research study. And I said, "Absolutely. What do you need me to do?" She said, "Oh, nothing. You just have to give me authorization." And I said, "Okay, you have my authorization." And she said, "Yeah, we're all set. We have your tissue." And I said, "You have my tissue?" I said, "Do you keep everyone's tissue?" And I was imagining, you know, Howard Hughes with the mason jars in the basement. But she said, "No, we don't keep everyone's tissue, just the interesting cases." And so I always say yes to research projects. Mm-hmm. Because however we can help anyone coming down the line
right.
after us, right? Mm-hmm. It's terrifying.
Right.
It's terrifying. You know, we hear that word cancer. I remember my first cancer diagnosis was in 2017, and it was skin cancer. It was a basal cell carcinoma, which in hindsight, like, okay, easy peasy, right? One and done. And then, but I was still scared, that word, the big C.
Oh, yeah.
And I joke about that, right? Like during, you know, the pandemic, the big C of COVID, not me, because I am, as you know, an overachiever.
You are.
So I had to get cancer instead.
Yes.
Right? Anyway. I digress. So it's been a journey, and it has been one of discovery and hope and also despair and fear. And so I have had to dig deep, pull up my bootstraps, and look forward and say, okay, mm-hmm. how am I going to make all this work?
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Shelley Giroux, and she is a breast cancer warrior. That's what I want to call you, if you don't mind. You know, and you've just got that attitude. But, you know, it's a little misconceiving, right? Because, you know, you look at you. You walked into my office today. You're as beautiful as ever.
Thank you.
You know, you're in great shape. You always seem to look at the glass, you know, as half full, right? You're one of those people.
That is, yeah, half full. But the other thing is, I think like so many of us glass half full people, and I think you'll agree with this, we never tell the world when the glass is half empty.
Right.
And we are watching, you know, the sands and the hourglass run out like Dorothy when she's locked in the witch's castle.
Yes.
Right.
Did you ever think that you wanted to give up? Did you ever want to quit fighting? How hard was it?
So that's a really interesting question. And I would have to say no. I never wanted to give up. You know, but I was prepared. I spent a solid 2.5-3 years of my life getting my life in order, getting ready to die, because you don't know. And when you know you have cancer in your body, and I knew too that genetically speaking, I was an anomaly. I should not have breast cancer. I don't have it in my family. There's no, you know, there are no markers mm-hmm. in my body. I think what led me down this path was really something called allostatic load. It's a theory. It's a little bit of a controversial theory that says our DNA actually can be altered by stress. Mm. And so I've had a stressful life. I'm a get it done kind of a woman. And I'm not complaining. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Right.
You know?
But I think you're absolutely spot on. I know I have a sister with a brain tumor, and it was a stress related. I mean, she was in an abusive relationship. It was a bad situation. So I think there's something to be said for that. And the other message that I think we all should get out of what you're talking about, Shelley, is don't get too busy to take care of yourself. You know, take that time, because like you said, you know, you're expendable. You work for this Hygentus for how many years, and then you get a phone call and you're not coming back. So people that think, you know, you're a value piece of somebody's workplace, guess what? You're not. You're replaceable. And so don't let that prevent you. While you have the coverage, take the time and get checked. Get your exams. Do everything you need to do for everything, right?
100% true. 100% true. And I never wanted to believe that. You know, I am that person who puts all of my heart and soul into everything I do. So It really was a shock. When
yes.
that happened. But, you know, I guess business is business, right? And at the end of the day, when even if you have a profession, you are replaceable. Everyone is replaceable. And that adage that, you know, if you died tomorrow, you would be replaced, you know, in 5 minutes at your job.
Right.
But your family could never replace you.
Exactly.
And so I really focused on, you know, getting my affairs in order, making sure my life insurance was set up, making sure that my will was in order. I actually signed my will the night before my mastectomy, because then I said to the lawyer, now I know I'm not going to die on the table tomorrow, because I have a contingency plan for that. So it'll be something else, but that's okay.
Well, you know, and you got to look at it too. You know, it's the blessing and the problem.
100%.
Because like your friend Joni said to you, take this now. Let's go get all of our exams. Let's take care of ourselves now. And that's when you figured out that this has to be your priority. So you got to look at, like everybody says, you know, there is a blessing and a problem if you just look at it that way. So how are you today? What's going on with you today, Shelley?
So today is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really how I look at every day now. I have been in the designation of no evidence of disease for, it'll be actually, I can't believe it, but it's going to be 2 years in December.
Wow.
And every 6 months I go for my evaluations and I have my moments. Those of you in the cancer world will call it scanxiety. It's a real thing. We always think we're going to die, but, you know, we're prepared to die. So then we don't, and that's great. And so, you know, you take every day like, all right, I'm here. You hit the ground running, right? And so what are you going to do with this one precious life that you have? So, and you made a good point, Ann. You know, people look at me and they're like, oh, you look great. And I so appreciate that. I so appreciate that. And but sometimes people will look at me and I can see the sort of side eye. Mm-hmm. Like, did you really have cancer? You still have your hair.
I said that to you. I said that to you when you walked in today.
Thank you.
I said you didn't lose your hair. And no, I mean, but I'm here. I am one of those people saying you look.
Thank you.
You look great.
And I know it's a compliment for you. But some people, I feel like, do mean it sort of as a little bit of a judgment.
Yes.
And I feel sorry for people like that because I feel like they must have been judged in their lives. And so they can't find the empathy for right now in this moment. Surviving is my full-time job.
Right.
I'm on a medication that destroys your bones. It's called anastrozole. It's keeping the cancer at bay, God willing. But also at the same time, I have degenerative bone and joint disease that gives me pain all the time. And so exercise is my job. Paying attention to my body is my job. Advocating for myself is my job. And I also know of myself now that I listen to myself instead of saying, I am woman, hear me roar. Exactly, right? And all of those, you know, I can bring home the bacon. All those things that we were taught, right? As, you know, the women's equality movements in the 70s. Also, that's a blessing and a curse, too. We can do it all, but do we have to? Do we have to do it all in order to be a valued human being? I don't know. Sometimes I still wonder.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, here I am today. So I have that push to keep growing and keep learning and being an open book and a voice for, you know, anyone who wants to share. I'm also one of those people who is open about not just my breast cancer journey, but kind of everything. And so I'm really privileged to have been someone with whom people share stories and questions and doubts and concerns. And I hold that in my heart like a vault. And we talk through the really hard stuff. And that is the other piece of it. Don't hold that hard stuff. Find someone you can trust and get it out of your body.
It sounds like you should almost be a personal coach. You know, because I know, and we have only got a couple minutes left, but you know, you've already written a book. You know, you've finished getting your degree while you were going through all this breast cancer stuff. I mean, you are an overachiever, but it's also something that you want to get out there. You want to share with people. You still want to be involved, right?
I absolutely do. And I am. I did write a novel with the help of my very good friend, Abby Barreto, who at the same time became a documentarian with her movie, The Ring in the Mountain. And so through her contacts, I became part of a writing group called Written Out Loud, based out of Yale. And Josh Shelov guided me to put my hero's journey into words and into a beautiful book called Of Gravity and Grace, which I'm very excited about. And I'm just rereading it now. I'm in the second edition process and getting it out there. It is available.
So where can people find the book? And Shelley, I want to have you back just to talk about the book. Will
you
do that?
I would love to.
So where can people find the book? Again, it's Of Gravity and Grace, and it's written by, though, your pen name.
My pen name, yes, is Rochelle Renee, which Rochelle is my given name, which most people wouldn't even know. I used to joke, unless you were my doctor or I owed you money, you wouldn't know Rochelle was my name. But of course, being sick, everyone called me Rochelle, so it kind of grew into it. And Renee is actually spelled R-A-I-N-E-E. And that name came to me. She is another character in the book, really. The author herself is on this journey, along with these two girls, Grace and Vinca, who have tumultuous childhoods and who come together at a very young age with courage and empathy and grace and really rescue each other.
And where can people find the book?
The book is currently available on lulu.com.
Okay.
And we can post a link in the photo.
Sure.
And it will be available very soon on a broader spectrum. I'm going to worldwide publication.
That's great. Well, we're going to have you back to talk all about that book. And, you know, thank you for being so open and honest. And to all those out there who've been through or are going through what you're going through, Shelley, you know, God bless you. It's attitude, right? You have to try to keep that positive attitude.
100%. It is attitude. And also, it's realism without pessimism. And I think I want to leave you with one final thought. And that is the most important lesson I learned during this process is that we have to do these things ourselves. We have to go through the treatment ourselves. We have to go through the surgery ourselves. And in particular for me, because it was COVID, no one was even allowed to come with me to the hospital or to visit. So, like, did it feel lonely? In times, you bet. But I also knew, even though I had to do it myself, that I was not alone. And that's the most important thing. That's what keeps you going.
That's great advice. Shelley Giroux, thank you so much. And we want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.